Are you bored or unsatisfied with your daily activities? Do you long for a new, exciting experience? If the answer is yes and you're under 21 just like me, then you should consider adding a once-a-week KBOO Youth Collective meeting to your schedule. Side effects will probably include extreme happiness, uncontrollable fits of laughter, a great group of new friends, and yummy snacks. KBOO Youth Collective can cause sudden bouts of inspiration and a yearning to share your words or your inner thoughts with the local community. If joining the collective sounds like a cure for your boredom and lack of an extraordinary after-school activity, then write us at youth@kboo.org or visit us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, or come into one of our Wednesday meetings for a scare-free, risk-free, and always cost-free trial.
Good morning. This is Per Fogring, and the show is Fight the Empire. And my guest this morning is investigative reporter Lucy Komisar, and who's written a lot of books on the feminist movement and also on corporate corruption. And she is a member of a group called 100 Reporters. She's also a theater critic, and she's been writing a lot about, well, you shall hear. Welcome, Lucy Komisar. Welcome to KBOO. Lucy Komisar, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. Let's jump right into it. Back in the election year, in the middle of the campaign, Donald Trump Jr. met with some Russians, and he thought that the Russians were going to give him some damaging information on Hillary Clinton, and the Russians wanted to get the Magnitsky Act repealed. And the Magnitsky Act sort of traces back to a person, a financial hedge fund billionaire named William Browder. So why don't we start with William Browder? Tell us about him.
William Browder started his hedge fund in Russia in the middle of the 1990s. And in fact, he built it on Mossack Fonseca shell companies in the British Virgin Islands, because that's where you can hide your income, your shares, your profits, so whoever is in charge of collecting taxes doesn't see it. And he used the investments came from Edmund Safra, who's connected to a scam in which $4.8 billion IMF loan went missing after it moved through his bank, Republic Bank, and another guy named Benny Steinmetz, who's currently charged with bribery, paying off some people in offshore in Guyana to get mining rights. So it was from the very beginning, it was a very dicey company.
And what did they do? So Heritage Fund invested in lots of things in Russia?
Yes, but the problem was Mr. Browder doesn't like paying taxes. That's why, why do people set up offshore subsidiaries with the help of Mossack Fonseca? Basically, it's when they don't like to pay taxes. That's already been shown. So he hired a Moscow firm that did law and accounting. And his accounting person was Sergei Magnitsky. This was in about 1996. And his job, according to the man who hired him, who set up the company, Firestone Duncan, his name is Konstantin Ponomarev, the job of Sergei Magnitsky was to organize Browder's tax evasion. And he did it very nicely, except that he got caught. And also, Ponomarev talked about how the job of this accounting firm was to help Browder illegally buy shares of Gazprom, which is the big energy conglomerate, which foreigners were not allowed to buy in Russia. So they set up a chain of companies pretending that these were Russians that were buying these shares. So, again, it was not really what somebody who advertises himself as a corruption fighter would likely do. What he did with the taxes was very interesting. One of the regions a couple of hours from Moscow is called Kalmykia, and it was trying to get jobs for the disabled, some of whom had been disabled since the Afghan war when the Russians were in that, but basically for disabled. And they gave a big tax deduction for the disabled, and they also gave a big tax deduction if a company invested in the region. So Browder's companies were not companies that hired anybody. It was just to hold shares, and it was to buy shares. It wasn't to invest in the region, such as to set up a factory, for example. It was just to hold shares. But that didn't matter, because Magnitsky filed the tax returns, helped him with the tax returns, and he claimed both of these deductions. Well, the Russians found out about it and said, wait a minute, you owe about $40 million in taxes for a couple of companies that you filed these faked tax returns on. And also later would add another $30 million because of illicitly buying the Gazprom shares that they were not entitled to. So here he is. He's got $70 million that the Russians are after. And what is Browder going to do? Oh, by the way, let me add that in a legal paper, he was asked about the deal of hiring the disabled, and he admitted that he did it, and he said, oh, he was advised by companies, by accountants, that it was okay to do that. So he admits that he did that. Of course, he said that in a legal, in a hearing, a deposition in the U.S. federal court, because if you lie, it's perjury and you get in trouble. But he doesn't ever say this in public to anybody else. So what happened? The Russians are after him for these back taxes. And at a certain point, and he's not paying them, it goes back to 2001 when they first went after him on the back taxes. So finally, this is not a guy that they really want in their country. So he gets he loses his visa because he's not paid his taxes, and at first he doesn't tell anybody. That was in 2005, because he's afraid that his investors are going to leave if he's not in the country and buying and selling shares for them. But finally he says 6 months later that he didn't get the visa because he was a corruption fighter. In fact, he didn't get the visa renewal because he was a corruption doer. And again, and in order to avoid the Russians getting anything to pay the pack, attaching what he has assets to pay back taxes, he stripped the companies he had of their assets, sent them out of the country, and bankrupted the companies through a fraudulent bankruptcy, which any place in the world is not considered something that countries allow. There's nothing special about Russians not liking fraudulent bankruptcies. The U.S. doesn't like it either. But so here we have several things happening to avoid paying the taxes, and the Russians know what is going on. Well, Magnitsky is the person that organized the tax evasion, so they call him in for hearing. The first one was in 2006, and remember the visa was lost in November of 2005. So in the next year, around the middle of the year, or actually it was October, Magnitsky's called in for the tax evasion. And he actually admits that he knew the guy who did the fraudulent bankruptcy. And by the way, on the article that I wrote, which you can see at 100 Reporters, there's a link to Magnitsky's testimony. And then another thing happens that's interesting. In 2007, so that's the next year, there are Russian tax investigators are looking into the tax evasion, still getting the information. And they do a search of the Hermitage and Firestone Duncan offices. The Firestone offices, that's the accountant. and they get documents about these shell companies. But, of course, by that time, they don't have anything in them. They were stripped of their assets. Well, 4 months later, Browder says that three of the companies were stolen, registered in other names, and he went out and found a lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, to investigate. Well, that's a total lie, because Sergei Magnitsky didn't have to be found. He wasn't a lawyer. He was an accountant. He didn't have to be found. He was there, and he was the one who'd organize Browder's tax returns. And from there, and I'll stop it in case you have some other questions of clarification, the whole thing becomes a fantasy spun out by Browder to build an international wall against the Russians being able to collect about $70 million in back taxes and illicit stock buys. And so, there's more to come, but I'm just stopping just so in case you have any questions.
Well, a little background. The Hermitage Company, that was started when Boris Yeltsin was running Russia. And you say that the Russians went after the back taxes in 2001, which is right a little after Vladimir Putin took over. Is there any, is that relevant to this?
Well, initially, it was a regional investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, to tell you the truth, I don't know who was running Kalmykia at the time, whether it came from Putin. Then it became a federal investigation, and it's quite possible Putin was involved. Putin was going after a lot of the crooked investors, including the Russian ones. So he wasn't going after just Browder at all. There was plenty to do there. And politically, I don't know whether Browder, for example, when Yeltsin was there, thought he could get away with it. You know, initially, Browder said very nice things about Putin. At the time when Khodorkovsky was arrested, remember, he was one of the oligarchs who was arrested, also for tax evasion, and in fact, he did the tax evasion. That's another story. But Browder said some very nice things about Putin. So Putin was not an enemy. So it's unlikely that Putin would have gone after Browder as someone he viewed as an enemy, because this guy is saying, and it was reported in the American press, that Browder said these things, that Putin was a really good guy. And so I think that takes away that possibility that he was targeted as an enemy. He wasn't then an enemy.
Well, one interesting thing is, I think I read it somewhere, that there's way over 100 oligarchs. And they really, you know, they were trying to strip Russia of all its assets during the 90s under Yeltsin. He was, and so the story I hear, sort of the Russian version, is that when Putin took over, he put a stop to this, or did his best, and so he made it, some of the oligarchs have stayed in Russia, and they still have their money, but that they are... you know, they're not trying. They stop trying to strip Russia. They are sort of, I guess, being good boys.
But it's not. I think it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the Browder story.
No, it's not. But it's sort of the background to it. But Browder is one.
Well, maybe he thought when he could go in, when he came in there in '95 and '96, that he could do whatever he wanted. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any direct connection. It's another very interesting story, and it involves the Clinton administration and Al Gore going in and helping to privatize everything into the hands of the gangsters. That's what they did. But that's a different story than the one we're discussing.
Mm. Okay, well, let's go on with the Bill Browder story.
Okay, then continuing the story, there was a scam that was going on, and it wasn't just involving Browder's companies. What would happen is some crooks would... And sometimes they did it actually for the people that owned the companies. And Browder says, in this case, they stole the companies and re-registered them. What they would do is file a sham lawsuit against companies that were owned by somebody in Russia. And the companies would say, oh, you're so right, and we agree to pay all the damages that you are demanding. I mean, they would say a contract... we had a contract, and you didn't fulfill a contract, and therefore we lost $100 million, and we're suing you for that. And the company would say, oh, you're so right, and we're paying you the $100 million. They would pay it. Then they would file a tax amendment saying, well, last year we paid X amount of money in taxes because we reported this profit. We just had to pay $100 million in this lawsuit, so we are reducing our reported profit, and therefore we are requesting a tax refund. And that was going on. So this happened to Browder's companies. Browder announced that his companies had been stolen, that he didn't have them anymore. And he said that the way this happened is when the tax authorities came in to the offices of Hermitage and his accountant in 2007, and they took documents because they were investigating the tax evasion. They took things like stamps and seals, and they re-registered the companies in the names of people they chose. And those are the people that were involved in the sham lawsuit. Now, part of the problem is that it turns out that the people that the investigators offered to give back these seals, and the Hermitage people wouldn't accept it. And second, Magnitsky actually testified in one of the testimonies that he gave to investigators that you didn't really need these seals because you could replace them just by going to the company that initially made the seals. And when during the period when the investigators had them, that's precisely what he did. He replicated the seals. So the idea that these seals were necessary and were used to re-register the company is false. You didn't need it to re-register the company. Now, we don't really know. Did Browder hire some people to re-register the company so that when the refund came, it couldn't be traced to him? We don't really know, but there are some suspicious facts, which is that later, after Magnitsky died, Browder retrieved those companies. He somehow knew that they were sitting had been transferred to another fake company registered in the British Virgin Islands, and he got them back. He filed a lawsuit officially to get them back, but that's rather suspicious that he knew just where mm-hmm. this was going. So what happened was the same scam, lawsuit against these. There were three Browder companies. You owe us $230 million because you didn't adhere to some contract or whatever they said. Didn't matter. And so the people on the side of the Browder company said, well, that is right, and we're paying you. And then it asked for the Russian Treasury to do a refund of that amount of money, which just turns out to be the taxes that it had paid. Now this becomes interesting because there is a moment that where Browder has repeatedly said that he found that Magnitsky discovered when he 4 months later after the raid, which was in June 07, Browder then says that his companies have been stolen 4 months later after it happened. And he says he went out and found a lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, to investigate. Except that Magnitsky was not a lawyer. He was the accountant who had organized Browder's tax return. He's already working for him for 10 years, working for Firestone Duncan, but assigned to the Hermitage. And so he announces that Magnitsky, and this is said repeatedly, and it's one of the connections to the Magnitsky Act, that he found this out. Well, he didn't find it out. And another thing that's very interesting, he said it was in October of 07. Well, there was a minority shareholder and also a trustee for Hermitage was HSBC, the British bank. And it filed documents in July of that, just 1 month after this raid, putting aside $10 million, $7 million adding to $3 million it already had, saying it had to do this because it might have to go to court to get back companies that had been stolen. Well, that was in July. Here, Browder is saying in October, months later, suddenly he says Magnitsky has found that the companies were stolen. hey, how come HSBC knew about it in July, and Magnitsky, who has discovered it, according to Browder, doesn't find out about it until October? This is all documented in my article on 100 Reporters. There are links to the HSBC document. There are links to the Browder's claim that it was October, and so on. Unfortunately, the U.S. Government and members of Congress and the Senate who passed this law didn't do any checking of the facts, and just and this goes for the major media, just believe what the stories that Browder tells him, but those stories are not true. So then in December, so we have, okay, the raid is in June. In July, HSBC says some entities have been stolen. In October, Browder says, we just found out about it. In December, but he discovers it, but he doesn't do anything about it. In December, these fake tax refund applications are filed with the Moscow tax office by the re-registered companies. And then Browder said Magnitsky discovered this and filed a complaint in July 2008. In 2008, this thing has happened in December, and he waits to file a complaint in 2008. Doesn't that raise a few suspicions? There was also, he's constantly calling Magnitsky a whistleblower. There was an article in the Russian business daily, Kommersant, on April 3rd, 2008, which said the three Hermitage companies had used tax evasion schemes and Russian law enforcement had brought criminal charges against Browder and his partner, Ivan Cherkasov, in absentia. That's April of 08. Browder is saying that Magnitsky has discovered this and filed a complaint in July of 08. Again, it's months later, documented facts. So then Magnitsky in 08 is questioned about the theft of those companies, and he says that, and this again, the testimonies are on the 100 Reporters website on the article, that in mid-October they discovered that there were claims being brought against these companies, and they figured out they must have been stolen, and they found it out in October 07, you know, 3 months after HSBC already took put aside money for a legal claim. And then he says that Browder says Magnitsky, in his declarations and testimonies in June and October of 08, accused Russian tax investigators of complicity in the theft of the $230 million. But there's nothing in those testimonies that say that. That's a complete lie. He never made those accusations. Finally, Magnitsky gets arrested in November of 08. He's already made three testimonies. And he's arrested on suspicion of tax evasion. There's a continuation of the criminal case, which had been filed in Kalmykia in the early 2000s and then had been picked up by the federal authorities. And the interesting is that a journalist, Alek Lurey, happened to be in prison. He's a well-known investigative reporter, and he was there because of fake charges by a member of the Duma. And he later was acquitted. I mean, he was exonerated, and the prosecutor apologized because it was a fake charge. And he met Magnitsky in prison, and Magnitsky told him that he had protectors in Russia and abroad, and they were going to get him released because they didn't want him to give testimony about his employers. And he said his attorneys were asking him to write a lot of complaints on all kinds of problems of his conditions in jail. The jail is not great. The jail's terrible. The jail in Russia is not like Denmark. Maybe it's closer to some jails in the American South, but it's not a great jail. The conditions were terrible. And he met Magnitsky a second time, and he told Lurey, like Lurey the journalist, that he had been deceived and that his Western connections wanted him to sign testimonies that he didn't want to do. So I don't know what that was about. That may have been about the taxes. That may have been about the theft of the companies. And when Browder was deposed in court a couple of years ago, he was asked, did you have somebody suggest to Mr. Magnitsky that he should take responsibility for the tax returns? And Browder said, I don't remember. most of his testimony, his deposition is, I don't know and I don't remember. So then in October 2009, Magnitsky filed a complaint accusing police of possible participation in the theft of the companies related to the tax refund fraud, and that some of them could be involved in the theft of the companies. So he didn't have any information. He's obviously being pushed by the Browder lawyers. But meanwhile, he became very ill. He got terrible treatment. He was supposed to get an operation. He didn't get the operation. He died in November 2009, and prison staff told the lawyers he died of pancreonecrosis, rupture of the abdominal membrane, and toxic shock, and he was only 37. Now, at no time during the period Magnitsky was in jail, almost a year, did Browder seek worldwide media attention for his claim that Magnitsky was being tortured and beaten to get him to withdraw accusations against Russian officials. He would say that afterwards, all the time. He was in jail for, you know, almost a year. He was constantly tortured and beaten. How come he didn't say any of that while the poor man was in prison? He said nothing. The claim started only after Magnitsky died. And he didn't pay the taxes, and that would have freed Magnitsky, because under the law, he was there just being investigated, interrogated. He hadn't been tried then. And if the taxes had been paid, he would have immediately been freed. Later, a group called the Public's Oversight Commission for Human Rights Observance in Moscow did a very thorough investigation and issued a report, which Browder knew about because he linked it on his website, but he never cited. And it basically said this man died of terrible treatment in the prison and lack of medical care. Mm-hmm. Browder gave about 44 reports, documents, testimony, photos to the Physicians for Human Rights. It's an international group. Most of the work is around the world, but it's based in the United States. And it did a report. It, again, talked about terrible prison conditions, broken windows, no heat, but not a word about him being beaten up by anybody.
So we got
bad medical care.
We've got a couple.
So it was all. But Browder said this to the Senate Judiciary Committee in July that Magnitsky had been beaten to death. He lied. It's perjury. But they won't go after him because it's politically useful for this Russians are bad guys to be said. Mm-hmm. And so the campaign was because finally. The Russian court did convict the guy who was involved in the tax refund fraud, and they were sentenced to 5 years. The person who was one of the people that was convicted, Viktor Markelov, said in his testimony that one of the people involved in the fraud working with him was named Sergei Leonidovich. He didn't know the last name. Well, Magnitsky is Sergei Leonidovich Magnitsky. Mm-hmm. He's saying that Magnitsky helped organize this. Now, that doesn't mean Browder did. It could mean maybe that Firestone Duncan, the accounting firm, was crooked. Or maybe just Magnitsky was crooked. But we don't really know. But it certainly is very interesting that he was accused by the guy that ended up spending time in jail. Now, what happens now? Browder has millions of dollars.
We got about one minute left.
Okay. Well, the Browder campaign starts. Mm-hmm. He gets Congress to pass a Magnitsky Act, which says anybody connected to Magnitsky's death has their accounts frozen and cannot come to the U.S., and it's all a fraud because Magnitsky died of bad medical treatment, but nobody killed him. Browder is doing this to prevent the Russians from getting back the money that he owed, and it's working. He's done a brilliant campaign. Mm-hmm. Right now, Interpol will not work with the Russians. The Americans won't work with the Russians. He has done a brilliant campaign to save some multi-millions of dollars from the Russian tax collectors.
Okay, I hear my theme music.
We didn't talk about the Magnitsky Act. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's another program. But this
gives
the background to say that it's based on a fraud.
Okay, what can people... Do you have a website where people can find out more?
100reporters.org and the commissarscoop.com.
Okay, the commissary.
Look at the first one. The second one is being redone slightly, so it might not look great. But the first one is up fine, 100r.org. And mine, I hope, will be fixed soon, and that is the commissarscoop.com. If you put in Commissar, Browder, Magnitsky, you might even come up with this.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. This is a fascinating story, a never-ending story. We've been talking with Lucy Commissar, investigative reporter, about the Magnitsky Act. And stay tuned, folks. Thank you very much, Lucy Commissar.
It's my pleasure.
And stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African high life. Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included.